Hello, and welcome to episode 7 of ESPN's number one challenge podcast. I'm Billy Gill, and I'm joined as always by Charlie Kravitz, Charlie Hume, and Elizabeth Bierman. Guys, very big day today. Last week we were a Laurel podcast. We don't need to go over the history of all the podcasts we were. This week, no longer a Laurel podcast. We are a Jordan podcast.
I think we should get like a challenge jersey. You know, like the famous Cleveland Browns jersey where you keep stacking names on the back? I think we should get one of those and just start stacking challengers' names on it. And then by the time we're like 10 episodes in, we'll just have everybody's name on the back of our jersey.
See, the thing is, I do think, though, we'll always sort of be a Laurel podcast because we're all scared of Laurel still.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I am. And I don't think that her clarifying things and saying, like, I'm not scared made me less scared of her. But
we love you, Laurel.
Yeah.
We love you. Laurel, we love you.
Can I ask you a question, Charlie? Because to take you guys behind the scenes for a minute, it takes about 15 minutes for us to do an open because I botch the start of it every single time that we do it. And I had to be coached onto how to start the podcast, right? And while we were doing that, both Charlie said that they had a joke and thought that they had the same joke, but didn't want to tell the other the joke. And I'm wondering if the Cleveland Browns jersey was the big joke payoff that we were waiting for.
Did you not like my Cleveland Browns jersey joke? Damn.
My joke was a Laurel joke.
I thought for sure you were going to go Cleveland Browns joke, Kravitz.
I thought for sure you were going to go Laurel joke.
Wow.
Charlie's are not on the same page right now.
Not at all.
That's kind of wild because maybe we're so far in each other's brains, we're picking a line that we didn't think the other. I'm confusing myself.
Right. Did I do your joke and did you do my joke?
Wow.
I think that's what happened.
Eliz, do you
have
a joke?
I didn't have a joke. No, but now Billy and I are in each other's brains. We almost said that in sync.
I feel like last week we did a nice recap of the challenge episode first, and then we had like kind of the Nelson stuff. I don't think we have time to do that this week because Jordan has agreed to sit down with us for a while. So I don't think we should waste any more time because he's already on the line, I believe. We should just get right to him, right?
Get right to him.
Let's go.
Okay, so in the very short history of ESPN's number one challenge podcast, we have had a pretty amazing 2-week run and guest appearances. We're at the very uppermost heights of the upper echelon in terms of both athleticism and competitive drive. Last week we had Laurel Stuckey on. This week we are joined by none other than Jordan Wisely. So Jordan, just to start there from a competitive perspective, we talk every week about how much we love your inner fire, your drive on the show. What makes you tick as a competitor? What do you love most about it?
I love pressure. I love chaos. You know, like I love being the guy that it's like, all right, this is last at bat. You got a runner on third. You know, I'm the guy that's going to touch the ball. You know, I'm the guy that's going to do that. I love it. But you got to be okay with the failures too, you know, and I've learned to embrace those. I've been playing very competitive sports from a very young age, all the way up into like collegiate levels. And, I love this stuff, man. And this is like, this is a sport to me and I want to push it that way, right? Sports are king here in America. So especially on television. So let's go that way.
100%. I'm like a big challenge nerd. And over the last 3 seasons, I've been on group chat after group chat being like, it goes LeBron, Usain Bolt, Roger Federer, Jordan Wisely. And so I gotta dig a little bit deeper on this. I'm gassing you up. What is your athletic background? Like, how did you become such like a well-rounded, beyond just like the mental competitive? I feel like you're pretty well-rounded in your physical skill set.
I think number one that adds into everything is I grew up in the country and we were never inside. I was always just running around in fields and uneven ground. I started wrestling at 4, played soccer at 4, wrestled my whole life, you know, and wrestling was, my father was an All-American wrestler, you know, went to OU, played football on a national championship quality team.
Wow.
At Cameron, you know, so he was just like that guy in the JUCO world. And so we grew up that way. We played everything, football. Baseball was actually like my sport, right? Like, I don't know if it's just growing up with one hand, my right arm. I've been able to throw, you know, when I was a sophomore, I was hitting 86, 87, 88. Wow. Junior year, damn, we were hitting 88, 89, and then ended up getting hurt, had Tommy John, and just never, you know, kind of picked up. It was just at a terrible time to get hurt. And the challenge has been the way to continue that.
Did you watch The Challenge growing up? Because you didn't start, obviously, on The Challenge. You started on The Real World. So I'm wondering if you watched The Challenge kind of growing up and how quickly after you were on The Real World before you either campaigned to get on The Challenge or they just called you and you're like, absolutely.
Really funny. My younger brother and I, my younger brother is – he's 22 months younger and actually like a better all around athlete. You know what I mean? Like it's pretty incredible. I would never tell him that, but he's a stud and we almost got to see him on Bloodlines, but I ended up taking another job. But growing up, we always saw The Challenge on, right? MTV was always on, you know, they were probably at their height when my brother and I were in high school. So we always saw it and we would always make jokes like, we can do that. Like we could, you know, cause there was a lot of wrestling stuff, right? It was a lot of like man in the sand type stuff. And so we always joked about it, but never really watched it. Knew the big guys, right? Knew the CTs and the Durrells and the Johnnies and Wes even. I remember his Real World, like Danny got hit. Everybody remembers that.
Oh yeah.
And then didn't think about it either. Whenever I got on The Real World, I just did it. I did The Real World because I wanted to act. I was like, how do I get out of Oklahoma and like get to Hollywood or New York and just get in television and movies? So that was the goal. And they called Marlon and I like less than a month after we wrapped The Real World. They're like, hey, do you want to do this show? And I was like, sure.
That was like Rivals 2.
Yeah.
You and Marlon, looking back at it now, should have been the greatest partnership of all time.
It should have.
I don't understand what kept Marlon from being like an all-time challenge competitor.
I don't either. I don't know if he's just like a Nelson, you know, who has all this ability and is just like pew, shooting both his feet, you know? Yeah. He doesn't care. I think coming off of The Real World, like we're thrust into this reality. It's like we left to film The Challenge before our Real World ever came out. Oh, so man. I was walking into my first interview on like week one of filming The Challenge and they're like, oh, hey, your first episode is airing in the United States. So I was like, oh, that's cool. So we didn't know about like, I don't know, being popular or, you know, like being talked about in the media and stuff. So I think to us, it was still like a show, but when we got there, I was like, oh yeah, this is like a competition. This is serious.
We're so glad you brought up Nelson because you're about to witness the debut of our first graphic or video and audio open. None of the other co-hosts have seen this. I think there's still a little bit of work to go on this, but here, let's all enjoy this together at the same time. Right, here we go.
What's the deal with Nelson?
The deal.
What the f*** is up with Nelson?
What's the deal with Nelson?
Nelson.
All right, there you have it. That's our What's the Deal with Nelson segment. So I'm just going to toss that question to you, Jordan. What is the deal with Nelson?
I want to preface everything that I'm about to say with, I like Nelson. He's got a great heart, but sometimes he's a dummy. Like sometimes I think sometimes mentally we're just playing at a level that it's like really just a little bit more than treading water for him. And, he just lashes out. I think when he doesn't understand something, he just lashes out and it's hilarious. Hilarious. Like he's the funniest guy on the show that's not trying to be funny.
It's amazing. I was about to ask, does he think he's getting away with stuff? Like when he thought he had an alliance with every dude in the house, he went into that nomination being like, I got this. I'm dunking on all you guys, right?
He thought he was slick. And we sat there and they didn't show it fully. Every single person in that room, like I just started it. I was like, all right, here's the deal. I'm not going to vote for you because I said I wouldn't, but I'm going to tell everybody what I'm thinking. And he got so mad at me. He and I went back and forth about that. He was like, this f- up, bro. And I was like, you're f- up. But so every single person went around and they're like, yeah, Nelson made me this promise, and I'm going to vote for Nelson.
Why was he only mad at Kyle about that, too? I don't understand that.
I don't know. Sometimes we like zero in on people. We're like, you're the one.
Yeah. So, Jordan, I'm curious because we have the elimination clip from last night. And obviously, it was a tough one to watch, too. Just, I mean, not only just the way the kind of the odds were stacked against you, but also, like, the hit you took. I'm curious if you can just, like, I know you said in the interview you did in the moment where you're like, I don't even know if I can describe this. Like, what did that feel like in the moment? Like, your shoulder itself, what was it like?
I knew exactly what, like, it's an injury that I've had before. I've separated my left shoulder a couple times. Just like motocross and football. But as soon as we hit the ground, if you see right here at the end, I was just impatient. Like right there, I was like, F- it. I'm going to throw him. At worst, we'll go out of bounds. And, you know, I did not, you know, you never expect an injury. And I ran back to the center because I knew it was about to start hurting. I was like, it doesn't hurt yet, but it's gonna. And as soon as I tried to pick my arm up, that's when I was like, whoo, yeah, that's fresh.
I have a bone to pick with some of your castmates because earlier in the season, they were describing the hit on Jay as one of the worst hits that they had seen ever in the history of the challenge, which I thought was a bit much. I thought they were playing that up a little bit.
Yeah.
Your hit looked worse than the Jay hit. And there's a theory out there that, that Jay knew he was going to be out of there and he faked the whole concussion just to, you know, leave with some pride.
I've heard it, and you know, like I've heard the rumor. I don't know. You know, I can't speak to it personally. I didn't think the hit was that bad on Jay, just because I grew up in that world. Like Rogan's playing the game, you know, like this the Oklahoma drill, and I thought it was pretty okay. I mean, what was excessive about Rogan was when he got up, he pushes his head in the dirt.
Yeah.
Right? In any other sport. That's a personal foul, right? But everything else was clean. So I thought it was fine. I mean, I can't speak on if he was hurt or not. But me personally, I was just raised to, unless it's hanging off, you know, by like a piece of skin, jog off. You know, like don't stop the game for that. Like keep going.
And not for nothing, and this is something that we heard Fessy say early on in the season, maybe in the first episode where he was like, you know, should have been playing on Sundays. And we did a bit of the eye roll on our, and like, he couldn't have possibly been that good.
Yeah.
And then we went and looked up his highlights.
Yeah.
And we found out that Fessy not only had more college football receiving yards than George Kittle did, but he's kind of a beast. So, I mean,
yeah,
going up against that type of guy, I think Charlie Kravitz was saying this. Are we seeing like the beginnings of a CT in his prime type competitor on the challenge?
Nah.
No.
Is he too nice? Too nice, too soft?
CT, you eat your head, you know? Bessie's not a killer. He's tough. He's a beast. It just means you have to be smarter with him, right? I was impatient. It's not an excuse. I was just, Tory leaves. The bunker sucks. So I'm like, you know what? Let's go now. Let's go for it now. Get the skull. The alternative is waiting here for another 6 weeks. Maybe they never put me in again. Like I'm a hostage at this point in the game. If they never put me in, they don't have to run.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
that's so, last season. You won 5 eliminations in a row.
Yeah. And so now it would just flip to where they'd be like, we're not going to put you in. They're not, unless I won the challenge, I'm not going into elimination.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll go for it. And we knew it was the double elimination, but we didn't know how it was going to compete, right? We've seen like 3 at a time. So I was like, yo, if this is a 4-way, you only have to be the top 2.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like this is the one, if it's a 4, it's a 4-way tug of war or like chain to our backs or something like that, backpack even. You know, what if it was a 4-way backpack? We were thinking like that. You only have to be the top 50%. So as soon as I saw that they were like, who do you want to go against Fessy? I was like, oh. I was like, this did not work out.
quick pivot on that. How tall is Fessy? Because we've been scouring the internet for challenge heights as we compare him to professional athletes. And I've gotten anywhere from 6'2 to 6'5 on Fessy.
6'4, I think, is pretty close.
Wow.
he's for sure every bit of 6'4". He might say 6'5".
How tall are you?
I'm pretty sure I've heard him say 6'5". 5'11".
5'11".
5'11" at the time was weighing 170, 173.
Got it.
Oh. Yeah, but Fessy's like 6'4", like probably 240 or something. That was not a fair matchup.
Like 2 days before, the dude was repping 315 on the bench.
Oh,
I was like, good God.
You know, that's so funny because we've been talking about the workout routines in the bunker. You had the famous shot where you're the first one to discover the gym setup and you're like, this is the best thing ever. On a training sort of basis, what does it look like off season versus, you know, in season? And how do you plan if you don't know what sort of equipment you're going to have access to when you're on a season?
Assume you're going to have nothing.
Hmm.
Like the way it goes, like it's just, we're always in a third world country. So that means they're ordering equipment from there, or it's just like what they can piecemeal together. You guys know how production goes too. It's all last minute, throw it together. So you might get lucky to have a full rung of dumbbells. The last couple seasons we've had a treadmill and that has been cool because if not, all you're doing is just running laps around the backyard. Yeah. And like, and then we usually like measure it off and it's like, all right, 152 laps is 1 mile. So take off. Working out off season, you have to, I don't know what everybody else does. I have to gain and lift as much as I can leading up to, cause you're going to lose. You're constantly losing shape the whole time you're there. The name of the game while you're there is who can maintain the best. Now, CT shows up in terrible shape, and then he just starts working out while he's there because he knows he's going to be there till the end. And then he literally transforms while he's there. The last two, he's lost like 30 pounds from day one to the end because he's just like every morning jogging on the treadmill for an hour, and it's like, you chose now to start.
That was my big theory about why he went in too early this season. He had to know that he physically is not ready until like week 10 to go into an elimination.
Yeah, you're exactly right. He's slowly prepping.
How long are you guys, like how long do seasons last? Because I'm wondering if he goes in, he loses 30 pounds. Like how long is a shooting season if you go start to end? And how long do you guys have in like your off season to, I guess, like get back into shape?
It varies. Each off season will vary. You just with production schedule and all that, we take 8 to 10 weeks. We've gone up to like 11 weeks, on some past seasons, but minimum it's an 8 week. You're gone. If you're in the final, so 8 to 10, time in between, it depends because we're not going to shoot over the holiday. You know what I mean? So that time is like booked out, but we're filming 2 a year, you know, so you've got like a month and a half, maybe 2 months of prep before you go, about 8 weeks, you know, a good camp, you need a minimum 8 weeks, right? You're wanting like 8 to 12, you're gone for another 8, and then, probably 3 months after is when that one starts airing, but we're probably leaving 2 to 3 months after we get back to do the next one. So this one, we had about 2 months in between. Now with the situation, we're getting a lot more time.
Yeah.
So one thing that makes absolutely no sense about our podcast is that I end every episode by sharing a recipe. What that has anything to do with the challenge is beyond me, but it's become a tradition. So I'm giving you that context because one of our favorite moments of the show so far this season was while the house was up in flames over Bear and Kayla, you and Tori were minding your own business, eating some protein cereal, and we thought it was just the sweetest. So I have a question about the protein cereal. Is this like a recipe that you make? Is this something you buy off the shelf? We need to know more.
So I'm a connoisseur of like, what you can make with what you got, right? It's very much like the Joe Dirt of recipe books, right? It's just like, how can we spruce this up and make it more than what it is? So protein cereal, you just take cereal, any cereal will work. And this actually really works on if maybe the cereal's gone a little stale. Maybe you just caught it, you're like, it's just outside of the good, right? So you take your protein powder, vanilla works best because chocolate is just very iffy. sprinkle that on top, like a heavy dosing of sugar, right? Maybe like a half scoop of whatever your protein is. Milk, mix it in there.
I like that. That's a recipe we can get behind. It's simple. It's easy to follow. You said it much more succinctly than I ever share any of my recipes.
That was the fastest recipe in the history of the show. And also, God is going to love. We got a double recipe week this week. This is huge.
So I'll keep with the theme. I was going to give you guys some options, but I'll stick with the protein theme.
Yeah. Well, and on that sort of same thing, because we watched with Laurel last week, we watched the Tory elimination with Jenna. Actually, specifically, we watched your sort of reaction with her after. And it was just, I mean, struck by the fact that, like, totally understand where you're coming from, the emotion you're feeling from a competitive perspective, and how much, I mean, you were calmer this week losing than you were in wanting Tory to win so bad last week.
Oh, yeah.
But also, like, just huge props to Tory on a significant other level of being able to understand how you communicate with her and receive stuff that was being communicated in like an aggressive way and like in a good way. So like what makes your relationship and your partnership so great?
We trust each other. You know, we really trust that no matter what, we have each other's back, and you have to have that. I think a lot of relationships don't even have that fundamental piece, but you know, she knows no matter what, it's all, whatever I'm doing is for the betterment of us. And I know the same for her. But I get so emotional with her because I know how good she is. Like, she's so good. Like, guys, I'm very objective. And I know it comes off a little, like, insensitive on the show, but I'm in game mode and I'm looking at everything objectively. I don't even walk in there with myself. I walk in there and I rank the top three guys, and I'm usually not in there until I've worked my way in there, or then we've proven it, right? And I'm looking so objectively, and she is so good that there's just sometimes it's like slow down a little bit or like little tweaks here and there, and she will be unbeatable.
I mean,
look what she did to Jenny.
That's funny. You actually set us up perfectly. You're now producing the show because this is the most watched clip in the history, the very young history of our show. I'll pull it up right here. Is the Jenny Hall brawl? We love watching this clip so much.
This is one of my favorite clips ever.
Holy, her pad
is this
level
one
here.
One round.
This is the second round.
Yeah.
This is my favorite. Popcorn muscles on Jenny. Popcorn muscles on Jenny.
Like, walk us through it. Like, we do not understand why Jenny goes low there, but Tory, her pad level and her drive are just like elite here.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'll walk you through this whole thing. The reason this worked so well, this hit worked so well, is because Tory hit her even harder in round one. If you go watch round one was harder, and it was harder because Jenny put up a bigger fight. I can relive this whole thing. We knew what it was going to be. We walk in there, we see that it's Hall Brawl, and we're up on the bleachers, and Tory turns around. She goes, "I'm scared." And I go, "I'm scared too."
What? Said,
wow. But here's what you're going to do. You have to go in there and hit her so hard in the mouth. I go, it doesn't matter if you win or lose. I was like, don't even worry about the bell. Just hit her so hard that she doesn't want to keep going, that she knows it's going to suck the next time. And she goes, okay. I go, shoulder and helmet all at the same time, right in her chest. She goes, okay. And she did it. The first one was a louder, like, because Jenny went in there thinking the same thing, but Tory delivered. And then in the second one, Jenny was scared.
Yeah. Gotta go through the man, not to the man.
She pulled up. If you look, she pulls up in the last second, and she doesn't deliver. And Tory delivered. And whoo, that was so good. This is the best, and I'm so glad that it's that the females have the best Hall Brawl.
Oh my god!
The history of the show.
And CT's the Tory train, a little interview. Choo choo. Yeah, I mean it was an amazing, and we love it. We love watching this clip. So
oh yeah. Stepped over, and when I saw that, I just started yelling, drag her to the bell.
One thing, hopping back to Tory's elimination from this year, was it ever go through your head, like, I might be throwing her off by coaching during the elimination?
Yes, and, you know, and there's that lasted for a long time. That was like a 30, 45 minute elimination. Like they were going at it for a bit. And like there were times that I'd like be quiet and then she would like, the way you smash the bricks mattered, right? Because the way a brick is made is one way it supports, it's like it supports the structure. The other way it just crumbles. Well, Jenna was just hitting it perfectly. Crumble, crumble, crumble. And Tori was, she just wasn't paying attention when she picked the bricks up and then she would just throw and they would just bounce off of the, and I go, you have to turn the brick. You have to make sure it's turned every single time. And so, yeah, you know, there were times that it was like, maybe it's too much, but I was like, yo, at the end of the day, I think the biggest thing that got Tori was, I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses, but Jenna had given up. You know what I mean? She told us going through the whole thing, the whole like couple days before, she was like, I gotta go. So like literally just make me look good. You know, like I gotta go. Like if it's pole wrestle, don't kill me. And we're like, cool. Yeah. Like, and thanks for the bone, right? This is like, whatever. And then we go in there and I'm like, this is too close.
Just going back to the clip we saw from last week from Tori's elimination and just your in the moment interview. What's going on with your hair? Because a lot of us have been talking. What were you going for? I'm glad to see that it's grown back and that it's not kind of still that. What is that?
I'm sorry to do the screen grab to you, too.
This no, it's crying, amazing. Thank
Jordan.
You.
This is literally your crying Jordan
Michael
moment.
Jordan. Crying Jordan. Michael Jordan crying face. Everybody post this right here.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like to... So when I first started the challenge, I was like, I want to come in and have a different look every time. So when I was there, I was like, yeah, we don't have a barber. Leroy's not here. This is the first challenge I've ever been on that Leroy's not on. And Leroy always cuts my hair, keeps me fresh. And he's not here. So I was like, it. And Halloween was going on. I was like, I'll be Lloyd. I'll just be Lloyd the whole time.
That's amazing.
Wow, the genius.
Is that what that is?
The Dumb and Dumber costume.
Yeah.
It's Dumb and Dumber.
So if you go back to, it's like whatever the Halloween episode was, I'm Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber.
Yo, it hits so close to home because we're all watching this in quarantine with quarantine haircuts and wearing hats all the time.
And then the bowl cut became a thing.
It's amazing.
I was like, wow, I'm a visionary.
That's the craziest thing about this season is that you guys have this setup and you guys walk in, you're like, this is horrible. Like, there's no windows. We can't go outside. We can't do anything. And it's so much nicer than a lot of people's houses that everybody is stuck in now. Like, yeah. Look at your thing. It doesn't seem like Torch is like, yeah, I wish that I had the 40 in my yard.
The production value is high in what you're thinking, okay? they put a nice facade and everything, but like, our sink clogged once a day, so we literally had to unscrew the bottom. There's like a running joke that I'm the handyman of the challenge. Goes wrong, like always goes wrong, and I'm not just gonna wait for production to send a guy to do it. I'm just gonna be like, all right, if you gotta, I'll walk up to a camera guy and be like, you got a Phillips head screwdriver? I'll take it out of his pouch and I'll go fix the drain or something. So that's what you don't see, you know, like, and they didn't show, I had an alter ego this year. And if you see, I have this scarf around my neck, in a lot of these scenes. And, that's my babushka scarf. And normally I get upset when everybody leaves their dishes everywhere. Right? Like, we've seen this
every season since Portland.
Yeah.
So I went in there with a plan this time. All right. And I brought this scarf and I was like, every time there's, or like once a day, pretty much is what it was, or usually every other day, I'd put this babushka on and I'd tie it like ASAP Rocky or something. And I'd come in and I'd talk like, Mrs. Doubtfire, and we'd come in like this. And oh, these are my grandchildren. Look at all of yous. Put your plate in the sink. It's fine. I've got the soap. It's just fine, dearie. Oh, yeah. And the producers would come and talk to Babushka. It was crazy.
It was crazy. Babushka was in the Czech Republic. It was crazy.
Why does your babushka have a Scottish accent?
I don't know.
It's odd.
But little known fact about me is that Mrs. Doubtfire has been my favorite movie since second grade. So mad respect for this. That makes me so happy.
You live content.
Huge Robin Williams fan.
The best. So good.
Yo, where'd you get the giant salami from?
Yeah. Okay. They would bring us in the weird, our food was catered. We have no control on what we eat, right? And we're like cattle. There's a dinner bell, there's breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and that's it. And they will bring you random crap and put in the fridge. Just literally random, because it's like to snack on or something like that. Like they try and keep us up with like eggs, cause people will make eggs. But they brought in this 3 foot long salami. I was like, what are we supposed to do with this? I was there. I'm up early every morning. You know, I'm usually the first or second one in the kitchen. It's usually CT and I are the first two up. And they come, like the PA comes walking through with this thing on his shoulder. I thought it was a tool at first. And then he's like, boom, and puts it on top of the fridge. And I was like, what the f*** is that? And I go and look, and it's a salami. And it was the closest thing. And they didn't really show, like, Wes, like, one, bananas started the whole thing.
Of course, right? Surprising. Yeah.
They were being dum-dums, like, with the turf and everything, but bananas was like, look at them. Like, look what they're doing over there. And I turned around, and then I was like, oh, yeah. And then Wes shouted back at us, and then that was it. And then he runs up on me, you know, like, hey, you're not going to talk to me. And I was like, whoa. That's the first thing I think of. I was like, there's a salami. I'm going to put it in his face.
How many of these feuds, Jordan, do you guys carry like into the off season or after the competing's done, you kind of let it go?
For me, none. Like even, you know, this is a UFC, right? And these are episodes are press conferences. Like each week we get to go in there and make a case for why I'm the guy or why he's the guy. And then we're going to go and put it on the line. Like that's how I see. I love it. But I don't know. A lot of people, they do carry it. And you need excuses to vote for people, right? Mm-hmm. So people keep stuff in their pocket and they're like, hey, remember that time in 2012 when you were supposed to do this, but you didn't? Yeah, I'm voting for you. You're like, all right, that's cool.
For Josh, who thinks that Wes is his rival for whatever reason.
Okay, I love Josh. All right, but when I hear him say things like,
"Oh yeah, we're going for him now. He's next,"
and I'm like, "You in what army, dog?" I don't even think I have that power to be like, "You're next." You know who might have that power? Or like Johnny maybe used to have that power, you know, but like. There aren't as many, like, minions today.
This is a bit of a hard turn, but I think it's important, given the context of last night's episode, where you had, like, a really emotional soundbite where you were kind of encouraging anyone with physical disabilities. So I'm just curious, you know, I'm sure there's been ways in your life where you've experienced, you know, pain or frustration because of that disability. So why is it so important for you to kind of set that example for people going through that same type of thing?
So my dad told me the story of like when I was born, because they didn't know, like going through ultrasounds and everything, the doctor thought I was sucking my thumb in the womb, right? Like it was just an amniotic band was kind of wrapped around my hand and it just like stopped the growth. So they didn't know until I was born. And my dad told me the story of like when I have, he's like, you know, you're waiting for the doctor to tell you everything's great. He's like, the doctor said everything's great, but he's missing his left hand. And my dad is this like sportsman, right? So he said, I went into the other room and, I took, you know, like 10 minutes and just laid on the other bed and decided I'm not going to raise him any different. Period. And so my parents never, even my mom, you know, like they never let us, I tried to use my hand as an excuse to like not carry groceries once when I was like 13 or 14, I grabbed like two bags. And she was like, hey, grab, like, what are you doing? There's like 10 more bags. And I was like, I have one hand. I still have to open the door. She's like, shut up. Like, get over here. And I was like, oh. So, like, that's it. And I think I don't see it. I don't see it. I used to, like, whenever I was young, I remember the time, like, I was running, and I was kind of keeping my hand like this, right? And just naturally, and my dad would walk up and, like, smack my hand and be like, hey, your elbow's not hurt, right? So I was like, yeah, that's right. Like, I was just seeing things, and we imitate the things that we see from disabled people, right? Or quadriplegics or anything like that. We just mimic what we assume that's like. And I just ignored it. And that's kind of how I've always put it out there to everyone. And I think nowadays it's not even a disability. Like, the mental game is so, like, look at how much depression and anxiety. Like, this stuff didn't exist years ago. Like, we are causing this. We are making this up here. And we have the power to correct that up here. And I think it's all in hand. I think I was given a gift to see that side in ways I can say, like, I felt like a minority. I got made fun of all through school, all through from kindergarten through high school to college, even now on social media, right? In the same ways that, like, racism is applied and classism is applied. It's the same thing. So I feel privy to seeing that. And in ways, it's made me hard to some things and made me a realist to some things, which I think can come out in the show. But in other ways, I think the resilience that builds is key.
Yeah.
One final question. When did it become TJ's final instead of just
the TJ final? Started calling it his final?
Yeah,
my final. Like,
you want to run it now? Final. I don't know. I was like, bro, you ain't running this. You're on the helicopter. Get out of here.
I think it's almost like how this became ESPN's number one challenge podcast.
Yeah, you just
manifested it. He said it, and it became a thing.
This needs to be a thing. Like, we need to keep this going. I want us to be keeping stats. Like, we need all the dumbest, you know, ESPN stat. Like, oh, hey, this is his third elimination win on a Thursday night going against a guy with blonde hair. Like, ESPN always has those stats for MLB players.
We should create an unpaid internship position that's our statistician and name it after you, the Jordan Wisely stats internship.
I love it.
I have a quick question.
Send in your applications.
In terms of smartness, every season, every episode almost, a challenger says they're the smartest person in the house. Everyone thinks they're the smartest person in the house. Who do you think is actually the smartest person in the house? Because Swaggy's credentials for being the smartest person in the house
is a day trader.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, bro, we all bought Shopify, okay? No. You know, Swaggy is a smart dude, but there's book smart, there's street smart, you know, there's social smarts.
There's the Nelson smart
player in the game, all time. CT.
Wow.
CT. Legend. Like people, you know, we give Johnny a lot of credit for, you know, pot stirring and masterminding stuff. Wes gives himself a lot of credit for doing things, but CT does it so quietly. That's why you don't know. And that is what makes him the smartest. Like, imagine all the times that he just gets through. Like, how did they not go for him on World of Worlds 2? Like he's good. He's really good. From Rivals 2, I've seen it, you know. He was walking around Rivals 2. I remember the very first challenge morning we woke up, putting my shorts on, and CT walks outside with like two or three other vets or something, like Leroy or something. He's like, so no matter what, just rookies in. Yeah, no matter what today. I'm just like, okay. He's got the pull. You know, he's smart. He's got an engineer's mind. He's the smart one.
We like to hear this. We like CT.
Yeah, we love CT around here.
Yeah.
Jordan.
I enjoy CT a lot. He and I have butted heads, you know, in the past, but it's all in, like, I think we're cut from similar cloth.
You seem a lot calmer now that you're with Tori. I'm not going to lie. So Charlie, this is his first season watching, and he's like, I really like this, Jordan. I'm like, Jordan, give Jordan a little bit of time, because Jordan will have his moments season to season. And I mean, sometimes you come off kind of like an ass. This year, not the case.
No, yeah. It growing up helps. You know, I was 22 on my real world, 23 on Rivals 2. And I was still in that, like, collegiate athlete, like, got to prove it, you know? Like, yeah. When I think of, like, you know, I've been ranked in the world in wrestling. I've won nationals, like, in multiple sports. Like, I should be the guy here. So when you show up, you're just trying to do everything you can to show everybody that you're the guy. But I think now, done a lot of growing up and I think I've proven enough, you know, like when I talk to the guys, it's very humbling to be in the house. And like, you know, Fessy walked up in the airport and was like, so, you're the champ. I was like, wow, you know, like that's cool. So now nah, I don't need to, you know,
you have nothing left to prove.
Yeah. But I will say, you know, the assness stuff is, it's hard for me to live in a house with all those people. Like we have to live together too. That's most of what it is. So it's not just, challenges and competition that we're getting frustrated with. Babushka helped a lot. Yeah, I didn't care about the dishes. I would just sit there and do them. And then, you know what I found out? I did the dishes probably half as much because the rest of the cast would see me working so much that I would walk in sometimes and they'd be like, we got you, Babushka. And I'd be like, thanks. So, and that's just me learning as a person now. Now I'll take that to the real world. And it's like, I don't have to tell you how to do it. Well, I'll just learn.
Well, you get defended like very strongly on the show every week. We Thank Billy, you. Every time Billy tries to bring it up, like you back up right now. All right. Jordan's the go for a reason.
My mind has totally been changed on this.
Good. Thank
You've been so great to spend the time with us, Jordan. You got Strap, the clothing brand. Obviously, Tori's got the podcast Tori dealing with. Anything else of note during quarantine you want to let the listeners know about?
We've got a movie in post right now.
Nice.
So we're literally going back and forth with editors and everything and getting cuts there. And we just started music on that. So I'm really excited.
What's it called?
It's called The Stocking Fields.
Nice. Okay.
I have a production company. So myself and my writing partner, we're executive producing the whole thing. And
awesome.
Yeah, it's been us from the ground up. So this has been great. But, you know, quarantine's given us time to catch up on edit. We moved, which is kind of crazy at this time. But we found a really good deal. And I got a new toy that kind of like we like prompted the move, a 68. I've always wanted Steve McQueen's car, right, in Bullet. I've always wanted a 68. Mustang and quarantine, I just had too much time on my hands. And so I'm just like scrolling and scrolling. And I've been looking for about a year. Then I found one. So I was like, well, babe, now I need a garage. So we got to find out.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for spending the time, Jordan. You're great.
It's my pleasure, everybody. It's great to meet all of you. Yeah. Charlie, yeah. Billy, everybody.
Thanks,
thank you,
Jordan.
Guys.
Yeah. Yo, really thanks appreciate so it. Thank you, dude.
Talk soon, Jordan.
What a delightful dude.
Yeah.
I would use that adjective. Delightful
human being, and I think we can make some inroads to Tori too. I think we can add to our friend count, which is, you know, the goal of this entire podcast.
We covered almost everything with Jordan, but somehow did not cover Big T almost losing a toe and asking if her foot was going to fall off.
I love that moment so much because I think every one of us has a friend like Big T that when they drink, when they go out, you know, just turns into not like a, you know, like an out of control alcoholic in the sense that it doesn't do.
Yeah, that's a very strong description.
That's a strong. If I could just reel that back in a little bit, what I mean to say is that you have a friend that gets very, very drunk. That is not destructive or angry. That they're like out of control, like
happy,
lovable, happy. Yeah, and so it was. Despite the fact that she, you know, nearly lost her toe or whatever was happening there, I smiled. I said, I know you. I have a Big T in my life.
There's something that's just so incredibly charming about someone who gets more friendly and funnier when they're that drunk, because it's almost like they revert back to their like toddler form. She was like a giant toddler walking around the house.
Big T stands for big toddler?
Yep.
Wow.
I feel like that was a dad joke.
That was a great dad joke.
I think what we now nicknamed Big Toddler and the Loch Fest Monster, the winner of this weekend's, one of this week's dual eliminations. So we're in a little bit of a hot streak right now.
You think we're going to get Fessy on the show?
I bet he would also be delightful.
Oh, yeah.
Can I make a confession? I went, I watched, Fessy's, Instagram live Q&A after the episode last night
where he was
talking about his win. And, I got up enough courage to, to type a question in. And the only thing I said, Fessy, did you know that you had more college football receiving yards than George Kittle and Preston? And he was like reading along and like, it looked like he caught on something and then just let it go. And then I didn't have the courage to type up like a second question or a follow up to it. So I think, I don't know how Fessy feels about, I would say us, but I think it's me in particular.
I would say he probably doesn't give you any thought.
You don't think he saw the Photoshop? The Loch Ness Monster? You don't think he saw that at all?
No.
I mean, surely, just scrolling through.
If he did, he's probably like, what is this? Who is this person?
If he does come on the show, I'm going to have a lot to explain.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm laughing so hard. I'm sweating.
Yeah. Well, I got to be honest with you. That interview and all this talk about mythical sea creatures is really working up an appetite. And I'd love to know if Elis, you know, on top of the – this is a bonus recipe. I guess Jordan's recipe is technically the bonus recipe. But Elis' recipe –
I'm fine being the bonus recipe. That's okay. I'm going to carry on with a theme, though. And I'm going to continue with high protein breakfast foods. We're going to talk today about banana protein pancakes.
Oh, wow. Let's go.
Need a blender. Take some rolled oats, 3/4 cup, blend it up in the blender. It's going to become powdery. You've now made a rolled oats flour, a ripe banana. The riper it is, the sweeter it is. So those brown, gross bananas that you're about to throw out. Optional for some extra protein, some cottage cheese. I feel like that's a polarizing ingredient, but you don't taste it. 2 eggs. You're putting this all in the blender, by the way. And then like a smidge each of cinnamon, baking powder, salt, splash of vanilla. Blend it all up. Now you've got pancake batter. Heat up a flat top or a skillet or whatever. Put some butter in there, and then you cook it like pancakes. And I add dark chocolate chips because they're so much better.
Ooh.
Jordan's protein cereal, much easier, far fewer ingredients, much more succinct. But if you want to kick it up a notch, some gluten-free banana protein pancakes.
You could have like a little bowl of Jordan's protein cereal with a little, you know, bit of Eliz's protein pancakes.
Mm.
Just double up.
Mm-hmm.
What an episode, huh? Episode 7. I feel like, I don't want to say it's our best one that we've done, but I think it's top 5.
I think it's our best one.
Top 7.
Top 7. Top, yeah, it's definitely got to be top 7. I'm going to say it's top 2 for sure.
Can I say one thing? Because he's gone and I don't know if we'll get to say it again for the rest of the season. Kayla.
Oh, we didn't talk about Bear and Kayla. Well, we're out of time, though. All right, I guess maybe we'll cover this next week, huh?
Yeah, I mean, maybe
out of mind.
Maybe next season.
Whatever. Bear, come on the pod.
Yeah, Bear. Bear. Stop ducking my Instagram messages.
It was a tough week for him. He probably knew this is the week I get eliminated. I don't want to.
If Jordan could face the music and chat with
exactly.
us, no reason why Steve could not.
Two types of competitors in this world. The Jordans who come show up, talk to ESPN's number one challenge podcast, Bears of the World.
Mm. With that said, we will become a Bear podcast if you come.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's it. Talk to you guys next week, I guess.
Wait, no. Wait a second. Elizabeth's final thoughts.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry, Elizabeth.
Mine are never good, so it's fine that we moved on beyond this.
Are those your final thoughts?
I have one final thought.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you guys know me decently well. I seem like the kind of person who would make my bed every day, right?
Yes.
Seemingly.
I haven't been during quarantine. My bed has been a mess. And this week I started making my bed every day and it's just really brightening up my days.
There you go.
I don't know if that should be a final thought.
I like that as a final thought. Work hard. Be kind.
Be kind. Make your bed.
All right. Talk to you guys next week.